This is The Topic is Trek, episode 49, for Friday, August 9th, 2019. In the end, does it really antimatter? Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! Well, hello, 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 everyone. I'm Clinton Allvord, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts, and I feel like we've started the show many times, well, because we have this evening, but we're going to get through this time. So, beaming in to join me are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hello.
Hello, and Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I'm picking up quite a few tachyon particles on this show. We could be in a time loop.
My goodness, get that time crystal away from Harry Mudd and we'll be fine.
That temporal vortex has given me a hurdy brain.
That's a technical term. I don't know if I can deal with that
one. Engage and just engage.
And I want to remind people the tickets are on sale now for the September 15th and 16th showing of Star Trek, the motion picture. It's a Fathom event. Why am I mentioning that? Because it's the only thing in Star Trek that we actually have a date for right now. That's why.
It's the only solid news we got.
The rest is speculation and old news.
Yeah. It'll come out sometime.
In other news, the other solid news is we will be at Dragon Con.
That is solid news. That's solid.
So will y'all be going to see motion picture in theater again?
I don't know. I at first I was thinking, I'm kind of wavering. I might go.
I'm kind of on the fence.
Can we Mystery Science Theater the heck out of it?
It depends on how many other people are in the theater and if they're into it as well.
If the other three are with you, fine.
Exactly.
5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. All righty. But right now, this episode is going to be a little different than normal. I know last episode was as well, so this is different than the different episode. This time around, we're going to give you some subspace chatter, but we're also going to go into our main mission where there'll be additional news stories. So there's a lot of news. We're going to get right to it. Charlie, what do you say?
You don't need all that subspace chatter?
Charlie. No, stop pushing the buttons, Charlie. Bad Charlie. What? No, you're very nice, Charlie.
Down, Charlie.
Don't know. Oh, my goodness.
What, you roll a newspaper at?
Hit him with a spray bottle.
Yeah, that always works. Talk about being wished into the cornfield. But anyway, let's get right to the news. We're going to start off with an article that tells us that the confidence that's invested in Trek.
The future's so bright, we got to wear shades. This is from WeGotThisCovered.com. CBS exec says, there's a limitless appetite for Star Trek on TV. Wow, that doesn't sound like a Titanic statement that it's unsinkable, does it? Limitless appetite. I'm sure we can launch another series that'll
or 12.
Kill it for a while. Well, anyway, to paraphrase the article, we've got, as you're well aware, Star Trek fans, we've got lots coming with third season of Discovery, we've got Short Treks, we've got Picard, we've got some animated series, we've got Section 31 spinoff. It's all coming. And according to, who was this according to? Julie McNamara, head of the original programming for CBS All Access. She says, we feel like any show that we add to the franchise needs to carve out a unique niche in the world of Star Trek and needs to be very good, high level of execution. I think we will collectively know when it feels like we actually should take our foot off the gas a little bit. We love the upside of this franchise, and we feel like there's kind of a limitless interest and appetite. That said, we should have to curate carefully and only put out shows when it feels right. Mm-hmm. So at least, we'll use some judgment and not just throw every Star Trek idea at the camera.
Even though it seems like it does. However, that gives us some speaking about everything needs to be timely and curated. That leads right into the next story from Craig.
Yes, and Shahzad Latif gives an update on the Star Trek Section 31, which we've been wondering even here on this show that we hadn't heard any news about it. So in a new interview, Shahzad Latif gives an update, and he said tells us when fans can expect to see it. As the head of CBS said, it was about 2 years down the line. So we're maybe a year and a half away, but it depends on the people. Michelle Yeoh is very busy. It depends on her being free, me being free. Well,
how much they pay?
Just be honest, they're not free at all. It depends if I fit into the timeline. There are loads of things that we don't know, and they'll have to write it. We'll know more in a year. Okay, Shahzad, we'll see you next year.
Yeah. So I think that explains really quickly why there was really no mention of Section 31 at Comic-Con.
Yeah. All right.
That's because it's super secret. They can't tell you anything.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Ah, it's covert. They
just phaser everybody.
That's Men in Black, right?
Yeah.
No, phaser.
That's a little harsh.
So let's move quickly to our next story, which comes to us via film. No, it's not on film. Slash film, actually. Their logo doesn't say slash film. It's got a slash in film, but it's slash film. Let's move on, shall we? The Star Trek Discovery showrunner talks new tech and ships 930 years into the future. This was at a panel, and Michelle Paradise, one of the producers of Star Trek Discovery, was talking about what to be expecting in the third season. And some of the highlights are, yes, that is where they are staying. They are not coming back from there. One of the other interesting things that she mentioned was that this concept of everything is going to have to be 930 years more advanced. Now, part of that seems to indicate that humankind is doing okay and has survived all this point in time. She's saying things like, certainly 930 years in the future, you would expect that technology has advanced so that a lot of the conversation we've been having around it, the weird thing is that she says at one point in the article that, let's face it, the most advanced thing in Star Trek at the moment was the food synthesizer. And I'm thinking, have you thought about the transporter? That seems to be pretty advanced technology. Mm-hmm. What kind of ships will be there? All this stuff is on the table. They're still discussing everything. And also, she let drop kind of hints that it will be relatively late next year before Star Trek Discovery comes out, which I think we figured was going to be the case anyway, because Picard will be taking up the first part of the year. So it's not that much of a surprise, but we're really getting confirmation that, yeah, it's going to be later in 2020 before we see Star Trek Discovery.
Weren't there only going to be 10 episodes of Picard?
Yeah, but we don't know exactly when it's starting.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Because remember, the only date we have this entire episode is when Star Trek The Motion Picture is going to be back in theaters.
Well, yeah. 930 years in the future, that's not far from when Philip J. Fry gets unfrozen.
Well, Clinton, having a date on that movie, it's kind of sad since it's been out since like 79.
I know. So you do the math. I don't even know what that means.
It's already been released, and we're talking about it in the future.
In a thousand years from now, they'll have doors that go shh, shh.
Yeah.
Yes. And speaking of Discovery, let's talk about Star Trek Picard in our next story.
Yes, and talking about everybody that wants to put their hat in the ring.
Well, yeah.
Here comes Robert Picardo.
Many of the map. Craig, did you jump ahead?
You're reading somebody else's story here, Craig.
I am.
No, he's reading his story, but out of turn. It's my turn.
Oh, well, let me go, and you can just do yours. So anyway, I don't want to waste that beautiful segue.
I don't want to start over again. Please, let's keep going.
Anyway, speaking to Trekkie girls at London Film and Comic Con over the weekend, that's a mouthful. Picardo, who of course played both Voyager's emergency medical hologram, the Doctor, and said hologram's creators, Starfleet scientist Louis Zimmerman in Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Deep Space Nine revealed that he had been approached by CBS to appear in the second season of the upcoming Star Trek Picard, which we don't have a date for that either.
Nope.
He says, I'm pleased that they, CBS, have expressed interest in me. They have reached out to my agent about next season, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. As you know, I play two characters, primarily the Doctor and also Lewis Zimmerman. We saw Jerry Ryan, shouldn't be too big of a stretch to see him floating around.
Yeah, no. But it's been, what, 20 years since TNG? They haven't upgraded the holographic image yet? We still have to stare at...
Well, remember in the future, in Voyager, they did that kind of flash forward, and he was married, and what was his name, Bob? I think
The holographic image wouldn't age, so I don't think he can play the hologram.
Right.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But I think he like Data, has probably progressed over time, but not necessarily his look. I don't know. Maybe he'll tell everybody, I adjusted it to fit in, with aging.
Right. People feel more comfortable around an older, experienced doctor hologram image.
When I hear about these things, I often wonder as well, when they say, CBS has reached out to my agent, and I often wonder, okay, how far along are you in the negotiation stage on this? Because you've just announced this. And if CBS was like, well, that was supposed to be on the down low.
Yeah. Weird. I agree. I thought that was a little weird. I was like, why would you mention that until it was like a sure thing?
I'm sure he just walked up to the desk and said, you can't spell Picardo without spelling Picard.
That's right. Ta-da. All right, Chuck, go ahead and do yours.
All right. So speaking of Star Trek Picard, we're going to keep on Star Trek Picard. See, it's anyway.
Well, it should come as no surprise that Jonathan Frakes confirmed that he will be in Picard as Riker. And Marina Sirtis will also be appearing as Troi. They're still together, but they're in a non-military situation. So he told IGN, I was nervous. I mean, it's a very positive article. He's very excited to work with Patrick Stewart, who he has highest acclaim for. He says Patrick is just nailing this performance and doing very well. So very, very positive article. Frakes and Sirtis aren't the only stars returning to Star Trek. Brent Spiner returns as Data.
Now, what?
That's what it says down at the bottom.
And that's the shocking news.
And Jerry Ryan of Star Trek Voyager returns as 7 of 9. How can he return as Data? He got blowed up. Unless he downloaded his consciousness or something before he went.
Well, there is a rumor floating. It's not a rumor so much as like speculation that Data is a hologram in this.
Oh.
But that's just speculation.
Well, and we saw him open it. Well, we don't know what the story around it, but he opened the drawer and there's lore or Data or somebody laying in there.
Parts.
Yeah.
Spares.
It's just a bunch of spare parts.
This is where Geordi kept the spares in the junk drawer. The Data junk drawer.
I 3D printed a new Data. What was the problem? There's no problem.
There's an arm, a leg, an old floppy disk.
And finally, in our subspace chatter, Star Trek Online's Age of Discovery saga to conclude with Awakening and Anthony Rapp.
Oh, I love that movie with Robin Williams and
not what we're talking about here. No. Basically, it's been a three-part story they've done on Star Trek Online. I'm about to go back into Star Trek Online in a couple of days. It'll be interesting to see the involvement that my character will have with this Discovery story, if at all. But the story will be concluding in September with this third part. Apparently, during the story, some Klingons have stolen mycelial technology. Mm. And with the help of Lieutenant Commander Paul Stamets, in holographic form, because he's not there anymore. He's off 930 years in the future.
True.
He's supposed to be helping them get back this stolen technology. And so that sounds like fun. It so far it's been interesting to hear the voices of the various Star Trek actors in Star Trek Online, as it is with any of the games when you play them and you actually hear the voices of the characters from the movies and television shows. Well, that will be fun. All right, and that closes up our subspace chatter.
One beep, Fazeli. Wow. One ping, Fazeli.
Wow. The budget's tight this week.
Yeah, really.
One ping only.
Shouldn't have wasted all those beeps earlier, because we got to spread those out.
You said you wanted to get through that segment.
All right, fair enough. We're going to move on now. Oh, but before we even do that, like I said, we've got a lot of news to cover this week.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had 20 additional stories that we do not have time to cover. And all of those will be in the show notes for episode 49 over at thetopicistrek.com. See, when I have those stories and I remember to do the bit.
We didn't have the stories last time. You're story. Right.
So I have to remember to say thetopicistrek.com, even if we don't have the stories. Okay, well, let's move out of there to our main mission. And as you may know, this past weekend, or as when we're recording this past weekend, Star Trek Las Vegas was held in Las Vegas, because holding it in Detroit would be silly and calling it Star Trek Las Vegas.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to drink the water there.
Yeah, it's just, no, that's Flint. Wouldn't, anyway, so
Star Trek Flint. That's a new series.
We wanted to talk about the things that happen at Star Trek Las Vegas. Of course, we were not there at Star Trek Las Vegas. I have never been to Star Trek Las Vegas.
We've shown up right after.
We have. We've been there to see the aftermath, but that does not quite the same. So I think that's another mission we have to go to a Star Trek Las Vegas. It's very close for you, Chuck. So
yes,
what's the problem?
We'll converge on your house, Chuck, and then we'll drive there.
Yeah.
Because all my other time off is taken up with things like, Star Trek Cruise.
Yeah.
Dragon.
Yeah, but that's old now. Now you want new things. Now, we don't want to try to cover the panels, because the panels were hour-long question and answer sections with the various actors and the technical people. So I thought what we would do is we would talk about various things that were announced product-wise around the time of Star Trek Las Vegas. Some of them were announced at the show, some of them were announced before the show, and in my opinion, some of them were announced to take advantage of the fact that all the Star Trek news was coming out at the time of Star Trek Las Vegas. And so they just wanted to ride that wave of news. So we'll start off with a story that has an intoxicating appeal to it. Ah, I see what I did there.
And you gave this to the right person, because winemaking is in my family as well. So, of course, Star Trek connoisseurs recognize that, from the trailers we've seen, Picard can be seen running his family vineyard, Chateau Picard, in France's Le Bar region. I hope that's
where they all speak English.
with a British accent, figure it out.
That's right.
So why not make Picard's wines a reality? The collection of special vintages inspired by Star Trek universe is on the way from Wines That Rock.
Wines That Rock!
RSS rules. The first two releases are a 2016 Chateau Picard Cru Bourgeois from Bordeaux, France. My French is starting to hurt.
Mm.
And a special reserve United Federation of Planets Old Vine Zinfandel. Ooh, we used to make Zins when I was a kid. The 2016 Chateau Picard Bordeaux is described as an 85% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15% Merlot blend, and is subtly smoky and spicy with a bright, fresh, clean-tasting style. Now, get this, a typical bottle is 750 milliliters, and it will run you $60, which isn't that bad, I would say, for a decent bottle of wine, if it is a decent bottle of wine. Now, if you want the flavor profile, this is where it gets fun. The wine is described as having aromatics of concentrated strawberry, blackberry, and plum preserves, with a chewy layered mid-palate filled with hints of white peppercorn, sweet red and black fruit. I just had to do that.
Should you let it should you let it breathe first? I, you know, I'm stuck in the bottle. Let me breathe.
Wait, if you're going to get that way, then we should probably do one of these.
Let it breathe, man. Let it breathe.
He's dead, Jim.
Oh, boy.
I, you know, I really hope they serve this on the next cruise because I would be up for a glass.
Indeed. Well, what about the other vintage there, the UFP wine?
I don't think they gave a. Oh, the UFP wine is a 2017 Old Vine Zinfandel from Sonoma County, California. It's a blend of 87% Zinfandel, 12% Petit Syrah, and 1% Syrah. Okay. I guess you change that up. That one is going for a scant $50 US.
Now, since wine is in your family background, mm-hmm. If it says Chateau Picard, then am I to infer that, and I think it says at the beginning of the article, so this is actually imported from France, even though it's, because the other one's the California wine that seems kind of odd that you would have two countries, but it says Bordeaux and France.
Yeah, it does say that one is from Bordeaux, France, and the other one is from Sonoma County. So yes,
very interesting.
Doesn't matter, they can sell what they want to sell.
That's right. And we're talking about Picard because we are, even though we have no date. If you're looking for us to give you the date when it premieres, we do not have that.
We can make one up.
Did I mention September 15th and 16th are actual dates we can give you for Star Trek, the motion picture? And anyway, yeah. So that we cannot do, but we will talk some more about Picard and something you can do before Picard.
Yes. And I'm a little confused by this timeline, and follow me here when we're talking about this. So, or not confused, but anyway, you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. So Star Trek Picard's coming out, and as they do with some of the other, have they done with some of the movies, is they're going to have, they're going to have a comic prequel to lead into Picard. So I think there's it's a three-part comic book series called Picard Countdown, which the Star Trek ones, I think, were called Countdown also.
The first one was definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So it will kick off in November 2019 and center on a mission that will change the life of the legendary Starfleet captain, which they alluded to that in the trailer, that something happened and he went on a mission and, you know, it changed the way he looked at things. Anyway, so that's where he's at now. But this is going to talk about that, I think, a little bit. Now, here's the part that was not confusing me so much as making me wonder when we're going to see this show. A novel by Uma McCormick, The Last Best Hope, will follow in February of 2020. It will be published by Simon & Schuster and introduce some of the new characters you'll see in Picard. Okay, so we're getting an idea of when we're going to see Picard. I think it's going to be after February.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that you have, now, if it's a three-part comic book series and it starts off in November, so that's November, December, and January, right? And then you get the book in February. I would think then maybe we're talking March. Yeah. You kind of have a month.
Yeah, because the prequel comics for the Kelvin movies, they came out, and I think they pretty much ended right when the like within weeks of the movie coming out.
This is starting to sound too much like work. We do software releases like this. Before you can release in March, you have to have this ready in January, and you have to have this ready in December, and you have to
we're gonna run this up the pole and do a beta test and see.
And if they're like our company, everything's last minute. This is due in January, we better start on December 30th.
Yeah. That's right. So
well, yeah. I also think that if you've got a book coming out, that a book will take more time for people to get through than, you know, your graphic novel comic book type of thing. So are you going to say, well, that's coming out in February, and so Picard is coming out in April? I would like to think that would imply that it's either going to be February or March. I'm just wondering when you end with a book.
That's true. You need a little more time to digest the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll tell you, I did enjoy the Dark Hours, you know, the one of the prequel books leading into Discovery. I would totally I'll read this.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll, so the first one of those will be out in, now it says November. Does that mean it comes out next week? Because the way they label comics.
Yeah. Magazines.
Right.
It's out in August. It says October edition.
It was out last month, Clinton.
Oh,
so were the Halloween decorations.
Yeah, that's right. Goodness. Yeah.
All right, moving on to our next story. The Star Trek Lower Decks follows Second Contact. What? What? And this story comes to us from Newsweek. So we talked last time about the panel that they had at San Diego Comic-Con and the Lower Decks section of it introducing some of the different characters as well as the voice actors for the piece. And we got to learn that the name of the ship was the Cerritos, but that's pretty much all. We didn't get a chance to see the ship or, you know, anything more about that. What we find out now is that the mission of that ship is Second Contact, not First Contact. And the idea is that, you know, you've already got the people that came in and make sure that things didn't get screwed up with First Contact. And then this other ship kind of comes in and the way they describe it is the specialty of the Cerritos is Second Contact. Second Contact, you're showing up to the planet. You're finding the good places to eat. You're like the Yelp of Starfleet.
Yeah. Nice.
The dilithium is pretty good here.
Yeah. So it's kind of like nobody remembers Second. And I think that this ship is kind of like
the First Contact is like, hey, everybody, by the way, here's my business card. It was good to meet you. We'll have a follow up.
They're the demo team. Then the real people come in to do the implementation.
Yeah,
absolutely. They promised you what?
And then the next team comes in and that's the unwanted physical contact.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. Oh, hey, we suddenly went all weird with these. I think it'll be interesting that it definitely shows that there's not a lot of confidence in this crew that, you know, they can't trust them with First Contact. But yeah, since we're done with that, you just kind of go in and, you know, deal with the day to day grunt work of making all that stuff that we promised was going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. And speaking of Vegas, how very Vegas of this next story to happen at Star Trek Las Vegas.
I thought this was appropriate as well. Gameco to release a new Star Trek Deep Space Nine gambling machine. This is from bleedingcool.com. Gameco will be unveiling a brand new gambling machine this coming weekend. Well, that was like last weekend as this was written.
Yeah.
That right. Star Trek fans will be interested in with the Star Trek Deep Space Nine Red Alert. Wow, what an original name. The reveal will be happening at Star Trek Las Vegas mega event that already took place July 31st through August 4th. Attendees got a chance to check out the machine and see it in action before it comes out in the winter, but won't be able to play it just yet. According to the info they released today, the game will allow a player's skill to impact the payout of the winnings while, quote, maintaining the same casino economics as slot machines, combining a chance and skill in an entirely new way. I want to know if it distributes latinum or if you just have to shout Dabo every time.
Yeah, that wouldn't get annoying very, very fast, would it?
So it's certainly not I would stand there in the casino yelling Dabo the whole day. It's certainly not the first officially licensed gambling machine to be made for the franchise or any of its series, but it certainly looks like one of the most advanced versions you'll find out there. We'll see how well the machine works out later this week, but for now, here's a snippet and a press release that came out, blah, blah, blah. Star Trek Deep Space Nine Red Alert video gambling machine under license from CBS Consumer Products is a fun, fast-paced gaming experience where players will aim to protect the Deep Space Nine crew from the perils of the Gamma Quadrant frontier. Players will battle against antagonistic aliens and dangerous stellar phenomena to protect the Federation and its battalion, the runabout USS Yukon and the warship USS Defiant. Star Trek commands one of the world's most passionate fan groups, blah, blah, blah. They said, hey, there's a lot of fans out there. We can make some money.
Yeah. I I did look online to see if I could find any video of this thing from the convention, because I don't know whether you get a chance to see it in action, even though you couldn't actually play it, but I couldn't find anything. So all we have is this image, and you can see the image.
The image looks like a DVD rack, to be honest. It looks like a DVD case sitting on a shelf.
Right. So if you want to see that image, you can go to the show notes for episode 49 over at thetopicistrek.com and check out this article. Yeah, to me it looks like a giant cell phone, you know, sitting on a backing or something, a giant tablet or something.
Charging. It's like a wireless charger from a phone.
Right. That's what I put my phone in that on the nightstand every night.
Yeah.
So I don't know when this is going to show up. I mean, they talk about the end of the year for, I don't know whether it's going to be, I don't know what the distribution is on a slot machine. Even this is, I guess you'd call this still a slot machine. Whether that gets distributed everywhere, it was just going to be Vegas. That I don't know.
Yeah. It didn't really say it was a slot machine. It just said it was a video gaming thing.
It said it gave
the same types of rules and chance as a slot machine.
Yeah. So I think it's not playing like a thing with a handle, but essentially you have the same odds. You're doing things. So there's obviously some element of randomness involved with this.
And a picture of Chase Masterson.
Yes, exactly.
Yay.
But yeah, the only picture on the screen is just the logo, the words Red Alert, and you win! And a small L cards at the bottom that is a readout of your winnings or your bet or that type of thing.
Yeah.
So we will see what comes of that. But you might not be able to use this gambling machine ever, because you figure, well, when am I going to go to Vegas or a casino? But you could get something that maybe you would find in your own home by the thing that Craig is going to talk about.
Didn't we just talk about this like 6 weeks ago? It seems
like we did and we didn't, because a while ago we talked about the ones for 2019.
Yeah, so let's talk about 2020 along with Picard and all the other Star Trek stuff.
We haven't even gotten to this holiday season. You're talking about the next holiday season?
Yes.
The stores are really putting out the decorations early.
I was serious about the Halloween candy showing up in August, and this is getting a little crazier.
Well, hold on. Let's inform the listener before we start railing.
Too late.
They ought to know better.
So as everything else that we've talked about tonight, the Star Trek Las Vegas, according to the Trek Collective, a Hallmark panel was held. I didn't even know Hallmark would do panels, but
Didn't either. That just seems like a...
And when I read that, I went, oh, okay.
We could do that at our show, just sit up on there and read all cards.
Right. I'm Carl.
Our deepest sympathies.
Anyway, it was held, and the panel was held, and it revealed what kind of Trek ornaments and decorations we can expect in 2020. So in 2020, the ornaments are interactive and part of a 3-year series called Storytellers. And the storyteller ornaments, they work together to tell stories depending on which ornaments are together using the keepsake's power cord. So most of the new line of the characters will be Mirror Universe characters.
Yes. Put those together. The Sulu with the dagger with Captain Kirk. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so it'd be Kirk, Uhura, and Sulu, and the Mirror Enterprise. So it has the insignia right on the under NCC 1701 for the Empire. The ornament will light up and play the opening monologue and the opening and closing themes from the original series. When the ornament is paired with characters from the storytelling series, the Tree Topper reacts by building a bigger storyline with coordinating sound effects. Speaking of work.
So, honey, did you put those ornaments together in the right sequence so we get our story out of them?
I want the other story.
So the Enterprise itself is the Tree Topper, and it's $119. Each character will be $29. So that's an expensive story.
But I think this is interesting marketing on their part, because as you recall, all the previous years of the Star Trek Hallmark ornaments were, okay, we'd have something from Discovery and something from Next Generation and something from TOS, and they were all independent. They would talk, they would, or you have dialogue or music or something with them or the lights, but for me, I would only buy the ships. I didn't buy the individual characters.
Right.
Now they're saying, well, yeah, you could just buy one character if you wanted to, but you won't get the full experience. It won't say this thing unless you have that one.
I want to hack those things. I want to hack those things in the worst way to make them say other things.
I think you can do that with any of them, can't you?
Hey, Kirk, what's the weather?
Yeah.
The weather today is...
Spock, sing me a song. Frosty the Snowman.
But I don't know this. I mean, this idea of the tree topper, $120 for the tree topper.
Crazy
I mean,
Joe's on it.
I'm sure. Well, the weird thing about it is it's the tree topper. And if you look at the image of it, when they actually have, I'm assuming these are just their mock-ups of them, it has that little loop at the back of the saucer section for you to hang it on the tree.
Yeah, this doesn't look like a tree topper so much as an ornament.
Well, to me, that looks like the old ornament, and for the purposes of having something to show, they
put
just stuck
the logo on.
Yeah.
It looked like a cheap mock-up for me, too.
My only problem was this. I would put this on my tree, but we got like three angels then in rotation. So if I try to convince the rest of the family to put this on the top of the tree instead of the angel.
Hey, Kim, we need pretty. More trees.
Yeah, I was going to say, just get more trees. What's the problem?
You just get lots of small trees.
It's like that woman. There was a story I saw the other day. This woman, her entire house at Christmas time is Christmas trees. I forget. She's got, I think, hundreds of them. Small ones, big ones.
What's that on some? It was on a show.
Hoarders?
No. So I don't. But it's like, so you, that's the route you take now. You have too many ornaments. You just get more trees.
I know what it was. It was on the Christmas lights fight. And in the house, I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about, but they had trees in every room. It was like hundreds of little trees.
I've seen people do that before, where they have a different tree in every room.
No, this is not a different tree. This is the rooms are full of all kinds of Christmas trees.
Okay.
And if someone's throwing one out, well, that should be rescued.
That's right.
And they get put away at the end of the end of the season, apparently. But they come out and they're all out.
These are the kind of people you go over their house and they have to tell you the history of every ornament.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is one I got in kindergarten. And this is.
And before Harry passed away, this is the one that his sister left us. Like, oh, boy.
He was holding it in his hand. I grabbed it. And
clutched it out of his hands while he's in the coffin.
Now, in case you're scratching your head going, wait a minute, if it's the Enterprise and it's this expensive thing, how can it be a tree topper? The Enterprise doesn't really work as a tree topper.
Right.
Well, the illustration, the mock-up, whatever it is, the Enterprise is actually mounted on top of
a
plastic cone with the Delta shield. So you would put that thing on top of the tree.
Sounds highly unstable on a natural tree.
For $110 or $19, $119, it better stay.
Better come with its own tree.
Yeah. Exactly. I see what you're talking about. It's got like several Delta shields in a pattern. So it makes a cone.
And if you put several eye hooks in your ceiling, you can make stabilizing wires. It's great.
Wait. I see the problem. This thing is not canon. The Enterprise is not canon. Do you see what my problem is?
It's facing
the wrong way.
Well, that's true, but all you have to do is turn your entire tree around once you put it down and no one will ever know the difference.
Yeah. It's not facing the right. Let's turn the tree around. Yeah.
Well, actually, if I should remember this and stop yelling at your listening devices. I'm saying this, but in the episode, because they just reverse the footage.
No.
But I'm saying is the, is the lettering backwards. When you see it on screen, I mean, I know it's supposed to be this, like this cheat to just to indicate that something happened and blah, 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 blah. But so to me, it'd be really cool if all the lettering was reversed.
Put the decals on backwards.
I don't think I've paid attention to the show. Is it like that? Is it backwards?
I can't look it up right now because I'm covering the next story. So let's move on to Star Trek Discovery VR experience coming to select cities this fall. This is interesting because it's going to be a experience where you put on the, I believe it's going to be where you put on the goggles, like a regular VR headset, but rather than like the approach taken by, there's a company called The Void that does one. And I've played a game in The Void. Well, I was at Disneyland, I think it was last year. They have a Star Wars one set up there. And you go from different room to room within the environment. But this one, I believe, is just going to be in one large room. And it's going to rely more on interaction between the different people in it, rather than you trying to interact with, you know, I'm standing on this railing or this platform, and you can feel that difference underneath your feet. They have a trailer for it, and I put that in air quotes because what else can I do if I'm on a podcast anyway? But this one, it really doesn't show you gameplay. It's a trailer done in the style of the opening of Star Trek Discovery, that kind of parchment looking thing. So you see various things related to what you might be doing, battling aliens, shooting phasers, using the tricorder, all those type of things, but it doesn't really show you any gameplay itself. The other disappointing thing about it is that it's only going to be in select cities. Apparently right now the company only has what they call their sandbox VR location in San Francisco, but they say that they're going to be opening locations in LA, New York, San Diego, Austin, Chicago, and Dallas. And they already have places in Hong Kong, Jakarta, Singapore, and Macau. So I'm interested to see what comes of this because I enjoyed the one that The Void does. It was a bit glitchy at times. You could, you know, put your hand right through another person, or, you know, if you're trying to grab a laser pistol or something like that, a blaster, your hand would kind of go through it. It was kind of hard to actually physically grab the thing. Mm. So I'm hoping that a different technology maybe improves upon that a little bit, but also I'd have to travel to New York to do it, I guess. But let's read their press release to see what it says. Built in partnership with CBS Interactive, Star Trek Discovery Away Mission fully immerses you in the world of Star Trek like never before. You and your friends will join the crew aboard the USS Discovery. In your role as Starfleet officers, you'll have the chance to stand on a transporter pad with your own 2 feet and get beamed to your away mission. Guiding you on your mission is Starfleet Officer Sylvia Tilly, voiced by Mary Wiseman. As an away team, you will investigate a mysterious distress signal originating from an unexplored alien world. Using iconic Starfleet equipment like the phaser and the tricorder, it is up to you and your crew to work together to solve the mystery and survive the perils along the way. Coming soon to a sandbox VR location near you. Well, it's not coming to one near me. It's coming to one that's relatively near me eventually. But look for that somewhere down the line. And if it happens, of course, it's hard. I can't like shoot video of a VR game because it would be me standing in an empty room. So it doesn't really work. So if I do go, I can only describe it. I couldn't give you any video to post of it. But let's move on to one more story. You think Vegas had enough going on with all the panels and the costumes and everything? These are all announcements that were just coming out left and right. that had to do with various things associated with Star Trek. And how about one more piece of news?
Sure, why not?
What? Yeah,
because some fans have been waiting for this for a long time, and you just never know. So from Red Shirts Always Die, it was announced at Star Trek Las Vegas that two of the canceled Star Trek Calvin timeline novels will finally be published in 2020.
Hmm.
One of the highlights from the recently completed Star Trek Las Vegas conventions was the Star Trek publishing panel. Attendees got a glimpse of what is coming next year in the form of Star Trek novels and comics and a few surprises along the way. For many fans, of course, the big announcement was Star Trek Picard would be getting both the prequel comic book miniseries that we talked about and novel, both of which were led directly into the first season of Picard. For others, it was getting more information on David Mack's Next Generation novel, Collateral Damage, a book that will culminate over 15 years of Next Generation era Trek novels, beginning with the A Time 2... dot 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 series. That's the name of it. A Time to dot dot dot.
A Time to Ellipse.
Yes.
Ellipses. But the biggest shocker of the panel had to be the announcement that two of the previously thought long dead Kelvin timeline Star Trek novels will finally see the light of day. Bit of background, back when J.J. Abrams was doing Star Trek and he had his big, huge thing in 2009, 2010, there were some new novels commissioned. There were four to start, and they would continue the story that began in Star Trek. Unfortunately, for reasons that have never really been fully explained, they were this despite work. That's what it says in the article. They were.
That's a technical term, too. So
yes. You try spelling that.
Yeah.
I think there's an emoji for that.
For those at home, means canceled.
Despite the work having begun on them, in some cases the novels were being finished and ready to be published. Oh, that would be heartbreaking if you did all that work. As an author, I know it's crushing. Flash forward 9 whole years, and Gallery Books senior editor Ed Schlesinger announces at Star Trek Las Vegas that two of the novels, Alan Dean Foster's The Order of Peace, which was originally titled Refugees, until Tom Petty got on his case, and David Mack's More Beautiful Than Death will arrive in bookstores in 2020. Again, no reason for the sudden change of heart. Probably money was involved and going, hey, the Star Trek thing's picking up again. We can make some cash. So
the first thing I thought when I was reading this article is, and they'll come out and Quentin Tarantino will say, I don't understand these books at all.
Yeah. I know.
What has this got to do with anything?
What's this paper?
this timeline?
If it has Kirk in it, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Bill is now once again saying, oh, I'm really interested in being in that Quentin Tarantino thing. You said you really did enjoy it. You liked the way that, Pine did a good impression of Shatner. Well, guess what? I do a great impression of Shatner, and I should be in this movie. Oh, Bill. So, yeah, you may be right that it's just, Star Trek is suddenly getting another resurgence and we'll put these out there. It's kind of bittersweet, though, because I think we're kind of getting the intonation that the Kelvin timeline is done. So
yeah.
It seems odd.
Yeah, that's the... It does seem contrarian.
I want to see a little bit more of the Kelvin timeline, but I guess not. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, it's up in the air. Now, in regards to that, we've been mentioning all along for months and months and years, it feels like, the CBS Viacom merger. Well, up until a couple of days ago, the word on the street was that because CBS was going to announce their earnings on the morning of August 8th, and Viacom would do theirs after the market closed, that this was going to be the day that they would announce that they are going to go for a merger again.
Right.
I think it was yesterday. It sounds like the word now is, well, they're probably still going to announce, but not tomorrow, that they're still going over details about this, that, and the other thing. And it, as a result, they will probably not even take questions about a merger during the earnings calls. So we are now back in the dark on that whole thing. And you know, I was thinking of that in regards to this whole idea of the Kelvin timeline and, you know, how would that be affected by a reunification? You know, if this is a discussion we've had before as well. It's like, okay, well, we really want the timeline, that timeline to be over because now we have all this other stuff that we're, you know, we've got in the pipeline. Let's get back to prime timeline and just carry on from there. So I don't know what ultimately all this means between Tarantino and that stuff. But so the idea of throwing out these novels out of left field.
Yeah.
But I guess they were done. You know, they were finished. So why not?
Take care of them. They're not going to get any money sitting on the shelves.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
there
right.
is there is another video that we invite you to watch. It's just a short little couple of minutes called That's a Wrap. So it's sort of a... What would you call this?
Well, it's Star Trek's, Star Trek's .com's official video highlights of the convention.
Yeah.
You know, just showing the general mood, some of the costumes that were there, glimpses of some of the panels really quickly. One that leapt out at me because there's not a lot of dialogue in it, but at one point it's clearly the voice actress who did, you know, Black Alert.
Yes.
Is on stage. And so, because you're hearing this music in the background and blah, 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 and you hear Black Alert.
Oh, she wasn't saying Black Alert. It was something else. It was some other alert.
And I thought it was
the wrong words, but it was the right voice. I went, she's very distinctive. And she went to a panel just to say that.
Well, I don't think just to say that. I've been to panels where it's the voice actors for this, that, and the other show, and so I don't know whether that's the type of panel this was or just kind of...
That lady.
That lady right there.
Yeah.
We applaud you, Black Alert lady.
Sounds like one of those old beer commercials.
We could do that.
So... That is our coverage of Star Trek Las Vegas. I mean, like I said, if you want to check out the various panels, I encourage you to go to YouTube, search Star Trek Las Vegas 2019. Be sure you add the 2019 on there. Otherwise, you're going to be inundated with all these videos, you know, dating back several years. And if you want to get the latest, search for 2019.
If Jimmy Doohan is alive, you went too far.
Yeah, it's a little far back. So actually, if they're at the Las Vegas Hilton, you've gone too far back. If they're a glimpse of the Star Trek The Experience, you've gone way too far back. You must return to us. Come back.
Turn back now.
All right. So now it's time to head to our Warp Speed Roundtable. Which we still do not have a special effect for. What do we got? What do we got in the old hopper for a special effect?
The warp drive, of course.
Oh, okay.
The world's slowest warp drive.
Takes a while. The hamsters have to get up to speed.
Rubber bands are winding to power.
It goes 0 to 60 in about 40 minutes.
Exactly. But once it's up to speed, man,
still
I got to tell you.
Making our way across the tarmac. And we're
all
off.
Right. Last time around, we asked which of the Star Trek announcements made at Comic-Con excited you the most. This time around, we're asking, and I'm going to pose this to all three of us, will you buy the Picard wine? And I'm talking about the one from Chateau Picard. You could also get the UFP one if you wanted to. And if you do get it, will you open it or just keep it on the shelf as a conversation piece? And I will start with, I'm going to end with Chuck because he's the wine person here. So let me go first to Craig.
No, I wouldn't buy it. I want Chateau Tomasi.
Ah, I see. Do you have a vineyard?
My sister does.
All right. So there's a possibility of that.
Well, actually, if I bought it, all right, I'm just saying if I did, I would probably keep it around for just a little while and then I would totally open it.
Okay.
I mean, all right. What good is wine if you don't open the bottle?
That's right.
Well, it's more of a, in that case, it's more of a conversation piece.
I'd keep the bottle just for the conversation piece.
I was going to say, you can just fill it with colored water and, you know, put the cork back on it. And then,
well, that's where I'm coming from. I'm not sure. I mean, the price is not that bad. The problem I have is getting it shipped. Massachusetts does not take shipments of alcohol.
Neither does South Carolina.
As I found out when I ordered, I didn't find out when I ordered the 10 Forward vodka. I found that out after they said it's ready to ship. Oh, and by the way, you live in Massachusetts. We can't ship it to you. So I had to have a friend receive it and then get it to me.
Bootleg smuggling.
Now, when I got it, it's vodka. So clearly, and that no pun, but pun intended, that, yeah, I have no problem opening that because I can completely replicate the exact color of the contents of that bottle from the faucet. You know?
Hey, so Dasani does that, and Deer Park, you know, when they fill the bottles.
So I have opened the 10 Forward vodka, and I was thinking about having some this evening, but I forgot to have it. So because I knew this was a question that was going to be coming up. All right, so we've voiced our opinion on it. What about you, sir, Mr. Wine Connoisseur?
Well, you know, mock all you want, but my sister's wine took second place. One, I forget which variety it was, but second place in an international wine competition this past spring.
Yes, but that's your sister's wine. Yes. Not
well, you
yours.
Asked if there was a Tomasi winery. Right. There is. Yes.
Okay. Is it labeled as such?
Yes.
Cool.
Where?
Can I get it? She makes it and then gives it away. It's like homebrew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad's been doing this since the early to mid 60s. So, yeah, there's decades of winemaking skills in our family.
So what Chuck is saying is that he's got lots of wine, Craig, and he's never going to share any of it with you. So you're not going to get that Tomasi wine.
I only learned the fine art of winemaking as a child. I also learned the fine art of moonshine making.
Kids out there, what that means is going out and observing the moon at night with a telescope.
No. We were drinking. I was introduced to grappa, and I think we soon used it for cleaning paintbrushes after that.
So you drink that, then you go out and appreciate the moon.
Yeah, look at the moon, man.
That's right.
Yes, I would buy this, and I would drink it. I'm looking forward to it. If there's an opportunity, I will take it.
Right. And as we said, hopefully, you know, you guys have it on the cruise. Maybe it's available at Dragon Con or something from a vendor. Who knows?
Or maybe I can go over to Total Wine or BevMo at some point and say, do you have the Chateau Picard?
Well, they didn't. Total Wine, because we have one near us, and they did not have the vodka or anything. So I'm not sure. It depends on the distributor. And I think it's a different manufacturer.
Oh, wait, so I don't know. Was it what the Captain Kirk stuff? We had was it the whiskey?
The bourbon?
Yeah, the James T. Kirk bourbon, yeah.
They didn't have that?
Not that I recall, no.
Darn it.
And they did sell it out on the cruise, remember?
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah. So I would have to, I'm in the same boat as you, Clinton. I'd have to find a mule to deliver it here to, you know.
Someone who
I had my delivery picture. What is this? Got a mule? I don't know.
A wine mule.
Delivered. I picture a guy with a cowboy hat and a Trans Am playing Jerry Reed, eastbound and out, and cruising across the country just to get bring you your Chateau Picard.
Yeah, here comes a Trans Am in a big truck in my neighborhood. Drop off a bottle of wine.
And there's Harry Mudd playing Jackie Gleason. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
We've taken that a totally weird direction.
We have, and we haven't even had any of the stuff. All right. Well, on that bizarre note, we're going to start wrapping up for this evening. You can find me, Clinton, at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.com, or you can find me on Twitter or Facebook, same thing, Instagram, all over the place. And I just, you know, can't stop me. MeWe, the Comedy Forecast, wherever you turn around. How about you guys?
Take it, Craig.
All right. You can find us over at chuckchat.com, we're the Technorama Podcast. Just put that in your Googles and you'll find us all over the place. Technorama Podcast.
in your Googles. You heard it here first. All right, it's time to hit the theme, boys.
Got it.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic Is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic Is Trek, don't put on the red wine shirt.
Oh, I spilled red wine on it. Oh,
it's like Deadpool. You'll never see it.
Yeah.